actually wondering if maybe we could just skip this episode altogether. Do you think our listeners would notice?
Oh my gosh, the personal conviction. Even as I worked on the notes and you have us grading ourselves. What?
I know.
I don't like giving myself an S. But the fact that both of us had bump ups with our cell phones in our hands.
But okay, I like that you call it a bump up. So you have to tell me about yours, because mine was no bump up.
Well, mine was a bump up, but I was sitting at a red light. I had my cell phone in my hand, which, can I just say that I'm not the worst driver in the world, but I'm not the best driver either. I didn't tell you that before you visited me and rode in my car. But anyway, I shouldn't be allowed to have a cell phone in my hand for sure. And I thought the light had turned red, and because I was only half paying attention, and I ran into the car in front of me on the way to pick up my kids from school.
You thought the light had turned red or green?
Oh, I thought the light had turned green. See, I'm still confused about how it all happened.
Hey, how many U-turns did I have to make while I was driving you around Central California? We won't even talk about getting lost several times daily.
We took the scenic route. That's what it was.
Many times. Okay, so how much damage did you cause, though?
I got by without having to pay anything. So I didn't. I kind of gently bumped the car in front. I'm sorry that it's not the end of your story, but I just thought it was amazing we both rear-ended somebody with our phones in our hands.
Oh, absolutely. No, and I was so completely at fault because I don't even think I was looking forward, and it was a red light, and I think what happened is a car came next to me to make a right turn on a red, and because of the motion, I thought I should be going forward too. And, you know, I think about it and I'm like, I pressed the accelerator without even looking up. I mean, how bad is that? And in my case, I floored it. And fortunately, the vehicle in front of me was a Jeep Wrangler, and I smashed into the spare tire in the back. It was brand new, didn't cause a stitch of damage, and I totaled my husband's Pathfinder.
Oh, so, ouch.
Yeah. Yep. Completely rearranged the engine section. So there, to our listeners, what's the moral of the story?
Put your cell phone down while you're driving. And note to self, put your cell phone down while you're driving.
You saw my strategy. Let's tell other people what to do. Well, this is Sherry Gregory.
And I'm Amy Carroll.
And you're listening to Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules, the podcast that equips you to lose who you're not, love who you are, and live your one life well.
Today, we're processing what we learned from our interview with Arlene Pelicane, author of Calm, Cool, and Connected.
So if we're going to do this, I thought we might as well do it in the most painful way possible. She gave us this acronym, HABIT, H-A-B-I-T. I thought we should just go through and grade ourselves. You know, we do all this breaking up with perfect stuff, and I thought, okay, let's do some, like, gut-level honesty. So for H, she said, hold down the off button that we should have sometimes with no tech. And this one I got an A on. My cell phone doesn't even go upstairs with me. So I'm not one of those women who reaches over for the cell phone first thing in the day. How about you? How do you do on the H part?
F. My cell phone is my alarm clock.
Uh-oh.
But I was thinking, oh yeah, there are these things called alarm clocks that I could actually use instead of my phone, but it charges beside my bed. I set my alarm in it. So I have an F on this one. And, you know, do you have a landline anymore?
No.
We don't either.
In emergency, we will die.
I use the excuse that if kids or parents needed us in the middle of the night, that we need to have our phone there. But that's it's a little weak. But I will say, I do turn off my email. I try not to answer emails on Sunday. Well, definitely not on Sundays. But I try to check out Friday afternoon late, like the usual work day, and not answer emails again until Monday morning. Sometimes I look at them on Saturdays, but I try not to engage much or answer. So okay. I do a little sort of halfway on this. So I get a C maybe on that part, but an F on the having the phone by my bed.
I was going to say, well, I think you should up yourself at least to a D minus. Like, that's going to make a recovering perfectionist feel a whole lot better.
I know, right?
Okay, how about A? Always put people first. Pivot away from tech and engage with people, like, as soon as they show up. I just wanted to crawl under my table when she said that, because I already know what... I could just kind of hover above a scene where Daniel comes to talk to me, or, you know, and of course, we have adult kids. I can't imagine how hard this would be if I had littles. And, yeah. You know, mommy, 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 read me a book. What would I be like?
Well, okay. So the saddest thing in the whole wide world to me, though, is when we go out to eat and I watch kids and parents sit at a table, specifically when the parent is on the phone the whole time and the child is eating in silence. Aww. I have to say that totally breaks my heart. Would I have done it if I had had a cell phone when my kids were little? Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope not.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is a hard one, right? I mean, definitely Barry gets the short end of the stick with this. So I need to be aware of that.
Well, and I was going to say, if Daniel starts telling me something and it's not particularly interesting, I just kind of zone out and go back to what's on the screen rather than that full body pivot and the full attention. Or closing, since my main computer is a laptop, closing it, or you know, turning off the screen of my cell phone, which are things that would signal to me that I'm no longer paying attention to it. I'm paying attention to him.
I am an etiquette person because of my perfectionism to a large degree. One of the things I have tried to do is make sure that if I'm in line at the bank, at the grocery store, that I put my phone away. That I don't look at my phone while people are waiting on me.
Mm.
It's so dismissive and rude. So I thought, oh, wow, I should give that courtesy to my husband as well.
have good manners at home as well as when you're in line at the bank, huh?
I might get a C on that one. Needs improvement.
You can teach me some lessons. I'm Californian. We don't have etiquette. All right, B, brush daily. Live with a clean conscience. Did I post something rude, hide behind the internet because I didn't want to talk to someone or watch something I'd be embarrassed if others knew about? I saw this as a good reflective practice, and I didn't grade myself mostly because I'd never thought of doing this. So I'm giving myself a pass first time around on this.
I'd say I at least have a B on this, only because I was so impacted by a quote that I heard years ago. I was at a women's event. One of the women's leaders shared this sentence that has just rocked my world ever since. She had a leader say to her, "How can we be entertained by what Jesus died for?" Good gracious. Mm. That has impacted my TV watching, my movie watching, and also my internet usage.
Sure.
Will I allow myself to be entertained by sin, the thing that Jesus died for?
Sure.
So everybody just let that one sink in for a little bit. I hope it rocks your world as much as it has rocked mine.
All right. I will go online with purpose. And she asked if we check one email and find ourselves on there an hour later. And I gave myself an F minus minus.
Same.
Squirrel. Oh, look, I mean, the number of times I realize I've been on for an hour and I still haven't done the thing I supposedly went on to do.
Yes. Well, my husband got a little judgy on me the other day on this. So we are getting ready to do some renovation to our house.
Ooh.
Can I just say that my Pinterest boards have exploded? Exploded. I was showing him how I want the tiles put in the shower. And he goes, "Amy, seriously, when do you have time for this?" Now, I'm not going to out him about his time usage, but let's just say, although I could, let me just say that.
Barry, that was an unwise question to ask. Oh, my word.
So he was right.
Yeah.
You know, especially Pinterest. I don't know. I'm very visual. So I could scroll through Pinterest all day long.
For me, it's personality quizzes. I know which Disney princess I am.
Just had to keep myself for falling out of my chair. I love that.
Oh dear. And so, you know, these don't fall under the previous category. You're still laughing at me.
Which Disney princess you are now? Do tell.
I'm not telling. No, I'm not telling. I'm holding that information to myself because clearly you won't respect it.
Inquiring minds want to know, our listeners.
I'm Belle, of course, the reader.
Oh, yes. The brainy princess.
See? Important information. See, you wouldn't have known if I hadn't taken the quiz.
I am dying.
All right, so we're going to just move on here to take a hike. And oh my goodness, you know, you've been here now. You've walked my beach. And I don't remember if I actually confessed, but I had not been to the beach in months until the day we walked down there. And okay. I know, go ahead, dope slap me.
Let me paint a picture for the listeners. Literally, you look out the back window of Sherry's house and there is the Pacific Ocean. It is the most breathtaking thing. So Sherry doesn't have to take a hike to the beach. She walks out the door to the beach. I was shocked. I was shocked when you said you didn't walk on the beach. Not to judge or anything, but I was shocked.
No, go ahead and judge, because one of the prayers I prayed about coming here in the first place was, Lord, if you let me come here, I will walk on the beach every single day. I will enjoy your nature. And yeah, now I've been just content to look out the window. But I know that I do better when I get my body in motion. You and I are both of a certain age, and we know we need to be out there walking. And when we went down to the beach, I was reminded how beautiful it was. And also, it's real. It's not made up of zeros and ones and pixels. It's God's real nature, not Instagram pictures of his nature.
Well, you know, I broke my toe at the beginning of the summer this year.
Are you trying to make excuses?
Well, yes.
Oh, okay.
It was a major break.
Oh.
And it has just now stopped hurting. It was crazy. So I took my first walk, long walk at least, yesterday for the first time in months that I took a very long walk. And I have forgotten how much I need it for my head as well as my, you know, thighs. I need it for my head because we know that the science is that endorphins get pinging around when we're exercising, and particularly when we're outside. I need this for my head. But I also realize my walking time is often my podcast listening time, which I totally love. When I did these notes last night and got ready last night, though, I thought I need to set a timer for half my walk, listen to a podcast. For the other half of my walk, take my earbuds out.
Good idea.
Let my brain rest. Let my own thoughts happen. So I think that would be a good solution for that.
Well, one of the things that I feel the most convicted about, because my habit GPA is terrible after going through these five, I'm like, wow, serious work needed here. And, you know, I came up with a plan to do all sorts of different things. But the one thing of everything that Arlene said that stuck out was reclaiming the red light moments. And not just because it was at a red light that I totaled my husband's car needlessly and literally am paying for it. We're going to pay for this for the rest of our lives. But it's all those other little red light moments in my life. I mean, if I can't go a few minutes or even a few seconds without reaching for whether it's my phone or my laptop, what does that tell me about myself and my need for, what is it? I need stimulation. I need attention. I am an input gal. You and I share that in common. It's one of my greatest strengths. But when it's to the point that I can't not have it, when I'm constantly twitching to reach for something else, I think the word for that is it's become a drug. And I'm really pretty proud, probably obnoxiously proud, that I'm not much of a TV watcher. But I can have the same kind of unhealthy relationship with my media, my social media, my phone, the whole nine yards. So for me, reclaiming those red light moments and just letting silence be silence, just letting downtime be downtime. And whether it's the, you know, taking the time at the red light to say a prayer, or you know, I've let myself fall into some of the habits that I observed in my students when smartphones and even just cell phones became popular. It was my students who told me that they used them to get out of awkward situations. Like if they were standing in line and the person that they were starting to try to chat with wasn't a good conversationalist, they'd pull out their phone and pretend to be texting. Like they would fake a phone call just to get out of an awkward situation. And I was so appalled. I mean, this was 2007, 2008 when I had these conversations with my students. And here 10 years later, I find myself standing in line and I'm not faking it. There's plenty happening. There's an Instagram feed I can check. There's Facebook. There's text messages. I can text my daughter and she will text me back. But that means that I'm not engaged or aware of the actual people that God has placed right in front of me. And we've talked in other episodes about being aware of who God has placed in our proximity for a purpose. And yes. So I need to start keeping my cell phone in my purse during situations like that.
Well, you know, I'm a brain science geek, so I'm fascinated by the brain science behind cell phone usage. It's alarming. You said it's like a drug. No, it actually behaves on our brain just like a drug. There are all kinds of things that happen in our brains. Companies are starting to pay attention to this and do what's called brain hijacking. There's a whole, I think, 60 Minutes about it. So this is for real. There's been a study about what our brains are doing if the phone is not even within reach, but in the room with us, and our thoughts are constantly connected with what's happening with that phone. If we don't take these steps that Arlene talked about, and I'm just preaching to myself as hard as anybody else. If we are not intentional, our brains will be hijacked. It's just the facts. It's the science behind it. So if we're not intentional about these red light moments, for example, we will inevitably slide further and further into this engagement with our phone and disengagement with our reality.
Probably one of the most convicting things she said, and I think it was more of a throwaway for her to say it, but it really landed for me, was that we Google everything before going to God. Like Google has replaced God as a source of answers. And, you know, the thought I had is, wow, it means I'm less dependent on God. I don't see myself as being wholly dependent on Him. I have much more of the, I've got this kind of an attitude versus I'm constantly in need of God for whatever the situation might be in my life. And it made me realize that anything that comes before God, or maybe we even talked about it and I'm just being reconvicted, anything that comes before God is an idol. And you picked a scripture this week that matched right with that.
It's right from the Ten Commandments. It's Exodus 20, 2 through 3, where God says, I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. That was my big takeaway, too, that we go to Google before God. What a heart-piercing thing. And, you know, what we're talking about with this brain hijacking, the science, all of that, that is, it's slavery, no doubt. And it's idolatry. We have turned it into idolatry, our phones. So that was my big takeaway. Also, my pastor preached this fabulous sermon this past Sunday, and he said, where there is self-preservation and self-sufficiency, the presence of God cannot abide. Well, this going to Google instead of God is both self-preservation and self-sufficiency on my part. Oh, man, I wrote that down. That's going to be posted on my computer screen because I tend towards that anyway. Phones make it more... we have all this information at our hand. Talk about leaning on our own understanding.
Absolutely. So what's the bad rule that you articulated for these two episodes?
I need my phone. With emphasis on need, right? But the truth is not so far off from that. And that's what I loved about Arlene's approach. So the truth is I need God, but my phone can be a useful tool. You know, if Arlene had come at this and told us, you need to get rid of your phones, you need to, you know, have them on one day a week or something harsh, I think none of us would have bought into this.
Yeah, well, Rebel Amy would have shown right up.
Exactly. Don't give me a stupid rule. But she didn't. She put it in perspective. We need God, but our phones can be a useful tool.
All right. So the grit and the grace of all of this, I'll speak on the grit because I'm going to have to be doing some teeth gritting. Because I'll just speak for myself. This isn't necessarily true of everybody, but I recognize that when I am checking my email multiple, and by multiple, I mean dozens, okay? I'm not talking once or twice. I'm talking dozens of times, or check into Facebook, and I suddenly realize I can't even count how many times. I mean, it's a compulsion. It's going to take some teeth gritting to break that quick fix habit. And I do it when I'm bored. And I do it when what I need to be doing in my real life gets hard. And so we're really kind of talking about a maturity issue. I go for something quick and easy over the thing that takes longer and is hard. And it's a character development thing. And character development takes grit. So,
I can relate.
That's where I'm at. What's the grace for you?
Well, I really focused on the grace because I always joke and say, not only do I want to be perfect, I want to help you be perfect too. Now, this is a problem, especially in our household, because yes, I have a lot of work to do on myself in this area, but I could see it best in you and your failings. So the grace is that I can only control my own phone usage and maybe my kids, you know, when your kids are little, not my kids now because they're adults. Mm-hmm. But nagging others is not going to help them. Instead, I need to show grace, I need to pray, and I need to trust God and not try to micromanage other people. That will have to be the grace for me.
Head on over to gritandgracegirls.com/episode98.
There you'll find the transcript for this week's episode, a Digging Deeper download, Bible verse art, and a giveaway of Arlene's fantastic book.
Amy and I would love to get to know you a bit better. You'll find more about Amy over at her website, amycarroll.org, and my website is cherigregory.com.
Make sure to join us next week when we'll be interviewing Diane Kim, author of Unbroken Faith.
For today, grow your grit, embrace God's grace, and when you run across a bad rule, you know what to do. Go right on ahead and break it.
Trust God to speak to them about their phone usage rather than trying to micromanage.
Sorry. Go ahead and do that last sentence again, just in case it picked up.
So I need to trust God and not try to micromanage other people.